Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody, it's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today we are excited to be here with Mark Porter. He is the visionary of Porter's Office Products and can be found at portersop.com. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Awesome. Okay, so before we get into what you do and how you do it, let's have a little bit of fun. If you could wake up tomorrow with any superpower, business aside, what would you pick and how would you use it?
You know, that's kind of an interesting question, as I'm not sure really what superpower I would want or how I would use it that I've really ever thought of. But, you know, just thinking right now off the cuff would be the power of dissemination and be able to spreading out the good word, for lack of a better term. I'm a CTEPH survivor, which is called chronic thrombone embolic pulmonary hypertension, super rare disease. And and ever since I've overcome that, I've really made it a mission to share that and get the word out as much as possible, because it's pretty rare, but it's probably more common than we know. It just goes undiagnosed. And
wow.
So I've spent a lot of time. I've been on some podcasts. I've been written up in different medical pulmonary hypertension magazines, and even in the Washington Post, there's even an article about it to try to get out. So I think that's what would be kind of, that's really meaningful to me, is how to get that, you know, the information out about that disease.
I mean, I really love that. And I had one of my doctors, when I had like a weird thing happen, you know, she told me, she said, it's the patients who cure these diseases, not the doctors, because the doctors have these like 15, 20 minute cycles that they're allowed to see you. And then they like turn and burn. And then they're, you know, responsible for keeping up with certain amount of billings. And then, you know, they have a family. And so they don't really have time for research, and they don't have time to like solve or get ahead of some of these things. So it is people like you who say, hey, you know, this is what happened to me. This is what to look for. That is how, you know, dissemination does happen and people become aware of things, because the doctors are honestly too overworked and too overwhelmed to be the advocate anymore. Like, we have to be advocates for ourselves.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It was really interesting, is, you know, when I was finally diagnosed, you know, and anybody, any other medical professional I bring it up to, they're like, I've never heard of that. What are you talking about? What is that?
I haven't heard of it either. It was, yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
I'm glad that you look spry, you look healthy. So I'm glad that you're doing well.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep, okay, so well. At a high level, why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
So, Porter's Office Products, you know, I'm a fourth generation owner, and it was started by my great grandfather in 1915. It, you know, started in the variety book business, and then transitioned into adding office products and supplies. And so then that's when I came into the business in the late 90s and took that part of the business over. And then we just started getting into more things: janitorial products, break room products, furniture. We do a lot of furniture design and installation. And one of the things I think we're going to be looking for here in the near future is getting away from Porter's Office Products to use it, because we do so much more than that. And,
right.
And I feel like kind of boxing us in. And so now we want to expand, either just drop it all together and just go by Porter's, or to do Porter's Workplace Solutions. But those are the things that we do, and it's primarily business to business, as we'll go in and work with the company and say, how can we streamline your purchases and make it more efficient and save you time and money? Whether that's consolidating, hey, what are you purchasing? And do you have multiple purchasers that are all purchasing the same item, but all in different pack quantities, therefore driving your cost up on that? And so we'll analyze spend and go through and just really make recommendations. Hey, this is how we can cut your spend, get you to a single source provider, one invoice, one company to pay for, one point of contact, and just make procurement's life a little bit easier.
Yeah, totally. And so, who is your avatar? Who is your like primary business that you would work with?
We work with all types of businesses. We've got some large government agencies that we work with. We work with school districts, colleges, universities, accountants, any business really. We're kind of in a smaller market where we don't just segment what we do and go after a particular type of customer. We're just looking at, hey, what businesses are using our products? Because we deliver to them, and it's typically next day deliver with our own trucks and drivers, at least locally here. And so it could really be almost any type of business.
Okay.
We try to look for businesses that are, hey, they have 10 or more office workers. What ones that that are really, trying to watch their spend.
Perfect. And you're nationwide, right?
So we do service nationally through UPS and a lot of our vendors, but we service locally all of Southeast Idaho, Western Wyoming, and Northern Utah.
How is your weather right now?
So it's cold, but it's cold for much of the country, but warm for us. Let me put it that way.
There you go.
So.
So I noticed on your website this blue cow kind of following us through all of the pages. Where did you come up with the blue cow and brand yourselves around the blue cow service? What's behind that?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting story, and I think one that can apply to anybody if they're really trying to get something out of this. Is several years ago, we needed to rebrand ourselves, remarket ourselves, and how do we go to market and freshen things up? So we worked with a marketing agency out of Denver, Colorado, and when we met with them, they said you really need three things within your marketing toolkit to pull from as you're building marketing assets and what, and just kind of how you want to portray yourself to the market. And those three things are, number one, you needed a spokesperson, someone that could be the face and name of your company. Number two, you needed an animal. And number three, you needed a toy. And yeah, and so, and then what they said is, after you've come up with those three, then you start building your marketing around how would you use those. And you might use all of them, or you actually might use none of them, but they give you inspiration on how you want to brand yourself and go to market. And so, as we were discussing, they decided that I should be the spokesperson, where I'm the owner, it's named after me, or after our family name. And then we talked about a toy, and one of the comments that we get a lot of was, hey, we see your trucks everywhere. We always see your trucks around. And so we said, okay, well, it's a toy truck. And then they said, okay, what about an animal? And I wanted, something that was edgy, masculine, something cool like that. And they said, well, hey, how about a cow? And I said, that's the dumbest thing ever. And so I really pushed back on that. And I said, we're not dairy farmers. We're in office supplies. And so then we decided to table what the animal would be for us. So then we started digging into what makes us unique. What do we do that makes us different? Because we needed to brand that and name it something. And as we were talking about what the customer experience was, is we provided little toffees in all of our orders that went out that the customer would get. Well, these toffees, the brand name of them was Cal. And so when people didn't get their toffee or their caramel, they let us know. You know, we're giving it to them free, but they were still like, "Hey, I didn't get my toffee." Well, they didn't say I didn't get my toffee. They said, "We didn't get our cows. We didn't get our cows. Can we buy extra cows? Can your driver leave us extra cows?" And so then the light kind of clicked on and said, "Okay, that's what it has to be."
That's where it
You
is.
know, that's where it came from. So it was off that cow toffee, and then blue was our color. So then that's how we came up with Blue Cow. And so then we created the marketing is, okay, how do we name what no one else has and no one else can ever have that only we can offer? And that's Blue Cow service, which is, so that's naming our value proposition. And everyone has good service. We're not doing anything different, but we gave it a name. And I
Right.
think that's really what, you know, when you're building your market, how can you give one of your processes a name that no one else has and no one else can use? So then you can say, "Hey, I'm the exclusive Blue Cow office or Blue Cow service provider." So that's
Yeah,
really what
yeah.
we built it around. And so that was kind of that's how we came up with that.
Yeah, I love that story. A lot of people don't realize GCE Strategic Consulting, that's who sponsors our podcast and my husband's company. GCE stands for his daughter's name. It's Gabby, Chloe, and Emma. Because when he created the company, he's like, hey, I wasn't a marketer. I just picked my daughters, my favorite things in the world. But as like we've kind of developed our value proposition, is it's growth, clarity, and execution. So
Oh,
kind of
perfect.
worked out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you're using a lot of language. So, you call yourself a visionary. You're using value proposition. Look, EOS was not around in 1915. So,
Correct.
who and which in your four generations brought this in? First question, and we'll talk through that, and then I'll go to my next one.
You know, I think I was the one that really brought it in, because the business in the 80s really kind of separated, because they were, you know, our family business also had Ben Franklin stores, variety stores, and office supplies and the furniture just kind of became an afterthought. And so when and so it was just kind of floundering, and my dad was just about ready to he was just going to close it down and not do anything with it, and continue on with what he really liked. He really liked being in retail with doing, and they transitioned to crafts, and so he asked if I wanted to come back into the family business and take it over. And so that's what I did. And then that's just trying to, how can I now grow this from something that there hadn't been any focus on it for, you know, 15, 20 years. And so that, so it was kind of that. You know, I went to school, I have my degree is in accounting. I never wanted to be a CPA. I always liked business. So it was always to go into managerial accounting type things. And so, and just trying to really network, and that was one of the biggest things that I think I attribute my success to, is networking with other people within the industry, and then also outside the industry, you know, through Strategic Coach. You know, I've been in that program for close to 18 years now,
Interesting.
and then through Strategic Coach, getting into EOS, and just having that light kind of click on when COVID really knocked us back, because, you know, our business relies on people being in the
In
office.
the office, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you took a hit more than most.
Huge, huge. And, you know, we're still fighting back from that, because then people's buying habits kind of changed. Oh, I can just go to Amazon. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
And
How do
so,
you stay like relevant against some of these big box and, pay for play easy button,
yep.
it's an interesting business model.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's that relationship, and also being able to sit down and consult with them to say, "Hey, you might see a price really good here, but check out all this other pricing that is not so good." So when we look at someone's spend, it says, "Okay, what are you spending and how much are you spending on?" We can come in and show, "This is where we can save you." just on raw costs, but then on soft costs, then that really goes even save even more because the billing from those places is usually credit card and trying to reconcile stuff, get credits. How do you handle issues? There's no one to call, there's no one locally to work with. And so that's really where I think that then we do really well is being able to have those relationships and be able to solve problems.
Yeah.
We're just not in to partner with the company.
Yeah.
If we look at a company that says, hey, we're just looking for the best price on paper, then we're probably not
Then they're
quite
probably going to get
there.
a Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
just kidding. I'm just
Dunder
kidding.
Mifflin, yeah.
That had to have done like helped your business, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it sure does put us into a stereotype
Yeah. Yeah.
of class, but yeah, and doesn't help that my boys go around quoting it all the time. I think Michael Scott's their hero.
That's hilarious. I see your three boys behind you.
Yes.
This day and age, a fourth generation business, that's fascinating to me because a lot of the kids anymore, they don't want to take over the family business. They want to go off and do absolutely anything but that. Do you think there's hope to make it a fifth generation business with those boys back there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. One of the things that my grandfather had that my dad passed on to me that I'm passing on to my kids is go out and do something different first to make sure that is the family business somewhere you want to be
That's
and
good.
not feel obligated. Because my grandfather, even though he loved the business, he didn't do anything else. He grew up working in the business, went off to the army in World War II, and then came back to the business and never tried anything else. And so he never knew, was there something else out there that he would have enjoyed more?
Right.
And so that's kind of what I'm trying to instill,
Yeah.
with my boys is say, hey, I want you to go out and see what else is out there. And just to try something. And if you want to come back, that's great. And if you don't, that's fine too. And
Yeah.
so,
I mean, that's fair.
my oldest boy, he's graduated from college. He graduated in accounting as well. And my middle boy, he is doing his accounting degree and actually wanted to go into healthcare administration. And now he's looking at into he's got some stock market classes and he's really enjoying that. So we might do that. And then my youngest is probably going to become a fireman. He's been working for the fire department and really loves that. And so he's working on that and his EMT certification. So,
That's amazing.
yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
So tell us how many employees do you have?
So we've got roughly around 25 employees.
Okay. And so how do you drive accountability in your business to make sure that you get what you want with a sizable amount of employees like that?
That's always been a struggle, and I think that's where EOS has really helped us is and so we adopted that and just having those level 10 meetings with our senior management team and then them taking those same meetings down to the department level, to the employee level, really giving them that score of, hey, this is how we feel you're doing, and really trying to take subjective kind of, oh, I've kind of the word has escaped me, but really being more objective when we're doing reviews
Right.
and trying to do reviews more often as well. One of the things that I think a lot of people they don't do it enough, and so they get frustrated with an employee who feels like, hey, I'm doing a good enough job. They're not talking to me about it. They're not complaining to me about it. And then, you know, the supervisor is frustrated because, hey, they're not doing what I want them to do. And I'm just mad. I'm not going to talk to them, you know. And so trying to keep more communication open of just, hey, this is our expectations. And when they're falling short, let them know, you know, because I would hope that most, you know, most employees want to do a good job.
Yeah.
And so if they're not doing a good job.
And I think employees really, I think they want that feedback. And like I did the annual review with our assistant today, and, you know, she really wanted to hear what she did well and what she didn't do well. And yep. If we didn't give her a ranking or give her a score, we hold bonuses for her. Then, you know, how do we decide that? What, just because we like her? Like, we can't, you know, we have to, and I think that when I talked about the things that could improve, that was her favorite part of the meeting. Now I understand not everybody wants to hear how they want to improve, but what I've learned is just like with employees, they actually do want to know. But a lot of times these leaders, and I'm not saying in your company, but any company, they were given that position because they were loyal, they're friends, they knew the owner, they have long tenure, and they may not have always had that leadership training to know how to handle those situations. You know, they're just a good person. And so, you know, we've seen that happen quite a bit. How do you feel it is to be like open to feedback as an employee and as a leader?
You know, I think it's hard, you know, to take criticism. You know, I think that's our natural reaction. But you know, one of the ways that I try to do it is, like you said, that everybody wants to know what they're doing good at, maybe what they're not so doing good at. So I try to start with, hey, these are the things that are going really well. These are the positive things. Yeah.
And the sandwich effect.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going. And then, hey, here's not where you're doing so well. And then here's the other place you're doing really well on. So, yep, exactly right. The sandwich effect.
The good old sandwich. So what's been the most difficult part of your CEO journey?
I think the most difficult part was when we really started having growth, letting go of stuff.
Yeah, letting the vine go.
And yep, just letting it go and trusting others. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, strategic coach teaches and EOS is, you know what, the job might not be done the way you would have done it, but it's being done well. And it's, you know, and if the end result meets of what you wanted the end result to be, don't stress about the process to that end result.
Yeah.
And I think that was the really, because I, you know, building it up from 3 employees to 25 employees,
wow. Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, doing a lot of things myself and, hey, I'm the only one who can do it, realizing that. And, you know, and I think that I started doing that, probably in the mid, you know, 2015, 2014, I was getting better at that. And then when I got really sick with CTEF in 2000, you know, I was basically out of the office. I was out of the office for 18 months.
Yeah.
And so, already having that base really helped. And
huge. Yeah. Because otherwise, you're dealing with a medical crisis and then you're dealing with a business crisis. And, you know, how much can you handle when you're going through that? Because when, you know, when you're healthy, you have a million wishes, but when you're unhealthy, you only have one and everything gets put on the back burner. And if you didn't have that foundation, Porter's office products might not be here today. You know,
exactly. You know, And so that was, I think, kind of a hidden blessing is, hey, that was already set up. So I was able to take that time. Now, the only thing that now my wife's frustrated with is now that I come back to work, I'm not taking any of that responsibility back. So I'm not at work as often as I used to be. And I'm at home a lot more. And so she's like, hey, don't you have something to do?
CEO-like? Isn't there something visionary?
Can't you just go somewhere? but it's really, I think my team also really enjoys the fact that, cause I've always felt guilty of not being in the office.
Yeah.
Because, hey, they're here working and I'm not in the office, but what I've come to realize is they actually thrive when I'm not here, and because they feel
they
trusted.
Do.
And then I'm not, watching over them and micromanaging anything, even though I didn't think I was really before that, but
But when the owner walks in the room, the dynamic shift,
it does.
whether you want it to or not, whether you're cool with people or not, the dynamic shifts. And often things do get handled better when, the boss isn't in the room.
It's exactly right. So I think that was probably one of the biggest hurdles that I have encountered, is just trying to let go, and then, like you said, let people run with it, and just set that expectation of, here's the end result. You can figure out how to get there.
And that actually empowers people to do more than you think they're capable of, and more than you would have ever done yourself. So,
Absolutely.
few more questions here. Where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year? Like, what's on the horizon for you?
We're looking at people, and just trying to, how do we build more of a professional team, to add to what we have. We've got a really strong team right now, and so, but we have had a really, we've had some team members that have moved on, left the area, for one reason or another, and wasn't us, was it them? Just life changes, and so we've had a difficult time hiring. And so that's kind of really where we're investing, is I think a lot of people right now are just having a hard time finding good people. And we're not immune to it. And so I think that's where we're looking at.
Okay. And if you had to do it all over again, speaking to a younger self or a less experienced self, what would your advice be?
My advice would be to let go sooner and bring in people that enjoy doing the things that I don't enjoy doing, bringing it in sooner. Even though some of it's really important to the business, I think there's people that were able to do it better than I was able to at the time. And so I should have let go more sooner. I can look back and see some people that moved on, and I think it's probably more my fault, because I wasn't letting go enough for them to really reach their goals
Their potential, yeah.
and their potential that they could have done with me, but I was the one that kind of, kept the thumb on them a little bit, as I reflect back, and I wish I would have done that sooner.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, hindsight's 20/20, but like that's the thing with being a CEO. It's kind of like when you become a parent, it doesn't matter how many baby books are out there, you just kind of learn as you go. And the same thing as a CEO, you learn things you do well, and hindsight's 20/20, but now you get to take that moving forward.
Exactly.
And so, final question, if somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
I think just reach out to me via LinkedIn or Facebook. I've got some public stuff out there, but probably most on LinkedIn. I really try to share a lot of things that are try to be relevant to almost anyone, and try to give nuggets. I've been doing for the last year or two a Motivation Monday quote that I put out there every Monday. And then I just try to do some tips about the office, furniture, things like that. And so just reach out to me. And if you want some help analyzing your spend, send it to us, and we'd be happy to look at it.
I think that's really something people should take you up on because, hey, it's free.
Exactly.
And you just never know what you don't know until you start looking at that. And like, if that could open up budgets for more marketing or sales or business development, like, so, and not have to worry so much about some of these, heavy supply costs and things. I mean, I think that's something people should definitely do.
Absolutely. And then we'll also let you know too, if, hey, you're in a good spot, you should stay where you're at. We're not,
Fair.
again, we're just not, it's just not all about us. It's about, okay, how can we help you? And if, and if we do an analysis of someone's spend and their process, we come back, to some people and said, hey, you need to stay where you're at. And if your current supplier really, goes downhill, then hey, let's talk. But right now, you're in a pretty good spot, so just it's not worth the time and effort.
Exactly. Okay, and so again, the website is portersop.com. Mark, it was a pleasure having you on the show today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.